You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine, California. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the station, the university, or the UC Board of Regents. Now to the garden show called In the Garden with UC Master Gardeners of Orange County, California. Hi, Tina. Welcome to In the Garden.
Hi, Katrina. I'm so excited to be here, even though it's still a little bit gray outside, but we're going to talk about June, so we're probably still going to have a little bit of June gloom for a few more weeks, but then it's going to get hot, hot, hot. So we're going to talk a lot about getting ready for hot, hot, hot today.
It's amazing with the weather now, and you're thinking about, we have to think about hot, 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 but let's do it.
Yeah. Get ready for summer. The heat is coming. And so I think maybe we'll start by talking about watering, right? Because that's going to be key to our keeping our gardens alive and looking well.
And our water bills down.
Yes, for sure. For sure. You were telling me when we were getting ready for the show about an interesting and very valuable thing that you had done by your water district recently. Tell us about it.
Well, a lot of the water districts in Orange County are offering these wonderful programs, and they are cost-effective, and they help you out. And I happen to be in Irvine Water District, and they had a program that I took advantage of, and they came out and checked all my sprinklers and my timers, and I was actually surprised. I thought being a master gardener, I was way more ahead of the game. But over the years, you know, if this sprinkler breaks and that one breaks, and a gardener replaces one and you replace the other, and things don't match up anymore. And so I just said, oh, might as well. It's a great program. And it was the best experience. I highly, highly recommend to it. This, you know, each one does something different, so you have to call your water district. But they came out, they went through my timers, they went through replaced solenoids, something that hadn't been working for years was an easy fix. They replaced sprinkler heads, they put in 5-6 foot of sprayers on the sprinkler heads instead of 4 foot. They put in different kinds of rotators. I mean, I just was sat there and was amazed at what, and the price was so efficient.
You know, so they started out, if I recall it, you said correctly, by having a flat fee that encompassed so many stations and sprinkler heads. And then if you needed more than that, then they charged you on a per head basis or a device basis?
Yes, but the programs change. So I just don't want to get too much into the particulars, sure, because Irvine's program could change. And then if you're in a different water district, they have something to offer. But from what I understand, because this company that came out that they contracted to works for all the different water districts. And they said they're all phenomenal. A lot of them they're different on how they're set up. But they're all phenomenal. And I have to tell you that, you know, I had spraying 4 feet, and I just made it 6 feet, or vice versa. Why should I spray something 4 feet or 6 feet? Or how far out of the ground? Some of them were not quite far enough out of the ground, was hitting my grass. So I was watering more of the area right there instead of better coverage. And it was phenomenal. Came out, there was a broken pipe on an area that I've never used. And if I turn it on maybe once or twice during the summer, and I'm like, I haven't turned it on since last year, but I'm going to turn it on. And there's a broken pipe there, and that was part of the coverage.
Wow.
For this one program. And I'm thrilled because I like to have lots of plants, and, you know, like everything needs to be watered, and I have a vegetable garden, and I have a pool, and I have a pond, and I'm always pushing it. And I still want to keep my one hydrangea. You know, I just like, I try to be water wise, but I love my hydrangea. But it was absolutely a wonderful, wonderful program. I felt like I had Nordstrom's out there for plants.
Wow.
The gentleman was just knowledgeable. He was nice. He walked me through it. He explained, you know, I wanted to know. He explained stuff to me. I learned a lot. I stayed out of his way a lot of times, but, you know, he was just really willing to explain how things worked and what we're willing to do, and gave me choices. And I put in a request, and within a few days, they contacted me. It was easy to schedule. They got out there right on time. They did what they said. They said what they did. It was professional. I was super, super impressed. The only thing it was like, I was a little embarrassed being a master gardener and having so many issues.
That's funny. Well, I'm going to do it. You've sold me. I actually tried to do it during the winter when my irrigation system was turned off because of all the rain. And when they came out to my house, my control box was not working. So they had to leave. So it just, your comments remind me that I need to get that done ASAP because summer's here now. And I'm sure I have lots of things that need to be taken care of.
You know, we're both water-wise, and I hadn't turned on until this is early, mid-May when they came out. And I hadn't really turned, I've only turned on a few sections of my watering system because it's been raining enough.
We had such a great year, yeah.
And, you know, and I just hadn't run it. And this is the first time since last year, everything got turned on and they ran through every cycle.
That's great.
And they advised me on how much to run, when to run it, how many days, and I was pretty much with it, but there was some tweaking there that I was just like, wow, I'm impressed.
That's great. Well, there may be some folks who may not be covered by these kind of programs, so we'll just give them a few little tips as okay. to what but they can do on their own,
before
too.
Before we do that, I would suggest finding out. I know IRWD, Irvine uh-huh. Water District, a lot of Orange County is in that. They are offering some wonderful programs. And I, from what I understand, other water districts are. You could contact them. It was really easy. They're eager to help you out.
Sure. Their goal is to conserve water and have people use less water. So if they can get you to repair your broken pipes and dysfunctional sprinkler heads, that's to their benefit as well.
You know, not this year, but another year, I ended up getting timers. I got to walk, you know, it was just wonderful. It's wonderful. And you don't know what you get unless you ask. But it would really, I think it's going to save me because I push my limit because I want to grow a lot of stuff. And I think what I'm saving is really going to help me out. So anyways, if you're not in one of those water districts, Tina, give us some suggestions on what to do.
Well, at a minimum, particularly if you have a gardener, you know, who comes to your property regularly, talk to them about doing a walkthrough of your property and looking at each and every sprinkler head and see, is it leaking? Is it spraying appropriately? Is it spraying the driveway instead of your plants? So have them go through and do it if it's not something that you feel comfortable doing yourself. But I actually will do that in the past. I actually go to a hardware store and I get those little irrigation flags.
I have those too.
Yep. And I walk around and I manually do each of the stations on my sprinkler controller and walk around and I stick those flags in at each, you know, sprinkler head that isn't functioning properly. And then my gardener can take care of, you know, fixing it when he comes. So you can either have your gardener do the whole thing or you can partner with your gardener by identifying what you see and have them fix it. If you are a complete do-it-yourselfer, but you haven't paid much attention to your timer in the past, or maybe you're in a new home and you aren't familiar with your timer, you can go out and look at your timer and find out the manufacturer and the model number, and then just type it in Google search, and up will pop generally an actual manual will probably be one of the things that pops up so that you can download a PDF of the manual for your sprinkler controller. Because I know my daughter bought a new house a few years ago and we couldn't find a manual. And so that's what I did in order to figure out how to program her sprinkler timer at the new house. So give that a try. And then if you are going to fix some sprinkler heads that may or may not be working, do be sure and get the same brand because as Katrina was mentioning, over time in her yard with gardeners making repairs and her making repairs, she ended up with some mismatched sprinkler heads. And what happens is the water pressure isn't working the same when you have different manufacturer sprinkler heads. So you'll end up not getting, you know, the same coverage that you need.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And my gardener, I think every time he, God bless him, but it's one thing I don't do is the sprinklers. And he just buys this one or that one. And I had a cornucopia of sprinkler types of sprinkler heads, which I hadn't paid attention to.
Yeah. And so then you're not getting the coverage that you think you're
exactly.
getting.
Exactly.
So do try and replace any broken ones with the same brand. But, you know, as things get older, they might not even make them anymore. So at some point on a particular station, you know, you may need to replace all 10 of the sprinkler heads to get the adequate coverage.
You know, Tina, and I think most of us are in a water district down here. You know, most of us are. And I think the professionalism of them coming out and this the security of them knowing we adjusted this sprinkler head, same system, same sprinkler system, but we put on some different amount of watering for each head and how far they shoot. And if, you know, I just felt so taken care of. I was like a little kid learning all about this. And, you know I was with him more than most people because I want to learn this stuff. But it's just a great service.
Yeah, just, for sure. If you can get this service, it sounds like sure want to do it.
He told me the majority of the water districts in Orange County have some sort of program.
Good.
And so it does not hurt to do that.
That's great. Now, once they're gone and they've got you all set up, and then the weather changes, right? So right now we have June gloom. We don't have 90-degree days yet, but we know those are coming. So when that happens, you probably are going to need to adjust your sprinkler timers yourself or have your gardener do it.
Or if you're like me, because I took advantage of one of these programs, they gave me Smart, and I can change. It will increase with the weather in the season.
Wow. So you actually switched your controller to a Smart controller.
Yeah, I did that a number of years ago. So I've really enjoyed that Smart controller. And then what also it's done is if I want to do a little extra because I planted something, it's now on my phone.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So I can be out of the country. I could be out of state. I can go, oh, my gosh, let me go change this or turn this off because we're having a party in the backyard that day and I don't want it wet. So check out, see what your water district has.
Yeah, good. I'm going to do that too. But if you are like me and right now I don't have a Smart controller, I have the old fashioned kind. And so what I will do as the weather gets warmer is I will go out, or you can ask your gardener to, if you're not comfortable using your controller, I will go out and I will change, you know, from 2 days a week of watering to maybe 3 days a week of watering. I'll change. And by the way, we will also want to make sure we talk about cycling. When you irrigate, and say you've decided that you need 8 minutes on one of your stations, it's better to have 2 cycles of 4 minutes than 1 8-minute cycle. And the reason is when you give your soil of a break while it does the rest of the stations, because say you have 10 stations in your yard and it goes through station 1 for 4 minutes and so on and so forth. So it goes through all 10 of them. Then it comes back to station 1 if you have it set on 2 separate cycles. And so then it will do station 1 again for 4 minutes. And what that does is the time that you waited before it came back allows that moisture to sink deeper into the soil. And then when it comes back on for 4 minutes, you don't have the runoff that you would if you did it for 8 minutes straight. You get deeper penetration.
Absorbs better.
Exactly. So we do suggest cycling of 2 cycles. That helps. And then the other thing that we suggest is just going out there and looking at your soil, taking a trowel, you know, digging down a couple of inches and seeing what it looks like to make sure you're not watering too much or not enough. So just like pest control and lots of other things in the garden, the best way to be effective is for you to be out there taking a look at everything.
You know, and when you're out there taking a look, things that I have done before, not really wisely, is I planted something right in front of the sprinkler.
Oh, yeah.
And then it blocks my other plants. And then I'm like, I'm not getting enough water. Or, you know, and then I go out there and go, well, that wasn't really smart because it's blocking out everything else from getting wet. So when you're out there, just also look around. Is it blocking something? Is it a reason why this is dry? And adjust accordingly.
Yeah, definitely. And then the other thing that we can do to preserve water is to add a layer of mulch, a nice 3 to 4 inches of mulch around your shrubs. If they're permanent plantings, wood chip kind of product is a great mulch. If you are in a vegetable garden or a flower garden where you till the soil frequently by replacing plants, you don't want to use wood chips because you don't want those to get mixed into the soil, because the wood will steal nitrogen out of the soil as it tries to decompose, and then that will steal nitrogen from your plants, which isn't a good thing. So if you're going to mulch in a flower bed or a vegetable bed, it's better to use compost or straw.
Now, Tina, could you back up a little bit? Some people might not know what mulch is.
Sure. So mulch is anything that you put on top of the soil that you don't mix into the soil, but you put on top of the soil. And the purpose of mulch is several fold. One, it preserves water because it's covering up and not allowing the soil water moisture to evaporate. It also, my favorite thing is it keeps the weeds down. So that's why one of the reasons I love mulch. And then as it decomposes, it also adds nutrients very slowly into the soil. But there are cases where we don't want to use mulch, and that's if you are in a high fire zone area. You do not want to put wood chips, you know, under your shrubs if you are in an area that's prone to brush fires, because of course, as that wood dries out, it's just going to become fuel and, you know, end up bringing the fire closer to your home. So
yeah, especially putting it close to your house.
Exactly. So do not do that if you do not use wood chips in particular if you are in a fire zone. But using compost in, you know, your flower beds is not as flammable as, you know, like wood chips.
And it's beautiful.
So using compost and of course then it decomposes very quickly and enhances your soil as it decomposes. Now in your vegetable garden, straw can be a great mulch. But again, if you're in a high fire area and your vegetable garden is close to your house, you probably don't want to mulch with straw close to your house because it can be quite flammable when it dries out. So the same with a big compost pile. Don't have a big compost pile right next to your house if you live in a fire-prone area, because compost piles can heat up and catch fire on their own if they get hot enough. So, use mulch if you're in an appropriate area. For that, but not if you're in a fire area. And then as long as we're talking about fire, we should probably talk about hardening your home for prevention of fire, right?
You know, I agree with it. It was funny because of the weather right now. You go, what? You know, fire? But it's just around the corner.
Yeah,
and you never know it. With weather, and we don't know if we can get Santa Ana winds. So this is a really, really good subject to talk about.
And of course, the first thing you want to do is have a defensible space around your home, which means clearing all brush and dry grasses for whatever distance your local fire authority recommends. It's quite a bit, you know, yeah. Particularly if you live near open space. You want to make sure that you have a clear space.
And, you know, no trees touching a house or laying on top of the roof. And you could also call the fire departments. They will also have, I believe, things on the websites.
Absolutely.
And they will give you guides of what they would suggest to do.
OC Fire Authority, this is a show that's broadcast in Orange County. So check out the OC Fire Authority's website. They'll have way more specific tips than we have. But in general, you want to keep the grasses mowed because they'll dry out. You know, the native grasses will dry out and non-native grasses. You want to prune up trees, so the low-hanging tree branches that are coming down and getting close to the ground or close to the tops of shrubs. That's called a fire ladder, right? It's like a ladder. Mm-hmm. It goes through the grass, then the shrubs, and then up into the trees. So prune those branches up so that they don't act as a fire ladder. And then especially right around your house, on the periphery of your house, if you have woody shrubs and trees, you know, right next to the house, you might want to consider you know, removing those if you're particularly in a fire prone area.
There's a lot of choices out there.
Yeah.
And the fire department will help you out with that too.
Yeah, for sure. So anyway, yeah, get your watering under control, get your fire prevention under control, and then it's time to party.
Now we can talk about the fun stuff.
So what do you like to do in your garden in terms of fun in the summertime? You have a pool.
I have a pool. I have a pond. You know, I have two gardens. So we love to do vegetable gardens and have barbecues outside. And we just love to sit outside and enjoy. And I also live in horse country, so I get to watch the horses. And I can sit outside in my yard and watch them. So I love spending time. And, you know, it's just, and I think right now I'm not a real cook in the summer kind of, I mean, personally, like heat.
Right.
You know, and this is like a really nice time for me to be in the backyard. You know, I love having people over. I love just being quiet and reading a book. It's just, it's a nice time to be outside.
It is.
And if it's still a little cool, bring a blanket and a book and a hot cocoa or tea or coffee. Life is good.
But coming up, we do have some entertaining opportunities, right? So we have Father's Day coming up and 4th of July coming up. So we'll want to do a little bit of garden prep, like we talked about in the show last month, because May is a great time for, you know, graduations and Mother's Day and baby showers and bridal showers. But June is pretty busy too, because you've got graduation parties, people getting out of school. So
Father's Day.
So we'll just quickly run through our garden spruce up tips for entertaining. And the first one is just walk through your garden, and anything that's struggling and past its better days, go ahead and yank it out. I give you permission.
Yank it out. It's okay.
Then the other thing to do, of course, is just deadhead. If you have flowering stuff, a ton of stuff flowered in May. It was a great May.
Oh, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a good March and February, March, April.
The whole year's been
garden has just been crazy. It looks so pretty and I haven't done anything.
But you know, usually you have your first flush of rose blooms, you know, in the end of April, May. Mm-hmm. So make sure you're deadheading all your roses. Just deadheading your roses will make it look a lot tidier. And then mulch, as we spoke a couple minutes ago.
You know, sometimes I just walk around the garden with a pair of pruners. And I'm always deadheading. You know, it's just a simple thing to do. It doesn't take that long.
Well, for me, it's therapeutic. It's my meditation. I just get calm when I start doing that.
It cleans up really quickly.
It does. It's amazing how just, you know, an hour in the garden deadheading and then maybe another hour or two mulching, and all of a sudden it looks like a brand new garden. But the last thing that I always like to do is freshen the pots, right? Because if you have just a few key pots that you've just replanted with, you know, great color, and they're at the entry door to your mm-hmm. house or key places on your patio, I mean, all of a sudden it looks like a party because it's beautiful.
And Tina, I learned this from you. You need to just go down and buy some plants. And take them and stick them in those pots. So, you know, even a day before the party, it's like it spruces everything up. And tell them what you do. I love how you have layers in the pots. And tell them how what you call it and how you do that.
Yeah. So it's a thriller, filler, spiller. And so whenever you're doing a pot, you want something that thrills, which usually means something tall or brightly colored. And then you want a filler, so maybe some little bit shorter plants that either have interesting foliage or pretty colors, pretty flowers. And then finally, to give it really that great bit of interest, you want something that spills over the edge. So something as simple as lobelia or alyssum, or if you're doing a succulent pot, you know, there's so many cool succulents that can spill over the edge of a pot. So if you keep that in mind, I have very little design skills. But just by keeping thriller, filler, spiller in mind, it looks like you have a professionally designed pot.
And I tell you, I've come over here and I go, wow, that looks beautiful. Like, it's all set up, ready for a party. She goes, oh, I did that yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's not something where you have to plan 6 months ahead of time to get your garden in shape. It's something like, oh, I'm having company. I could do something really quick to make it look really nice.
And another really super cheating way to do it is go to one of the big box retailers that already have the pre-planted either hanging baskets or pots. Mm-hmm. And so those flowers have already been growing for a mm-hmm. little while and they're in full bloom. And what you can do is just take one of those, and they're usually in kind of ugly plastic pots. Mm-hmm. But what I've done is taken those and put them into one of my pretty ceramic pots or pretty clay pots. And, you know, nobody knows that I just dropped in something I bought. And, you know, those can be a little expensive, you know, $25 or so, $20. But if you're having a party and
you know, and they last a long time too.
They do. And if you think about buying cut flowers, it's cheaper than buying cut flowers.
Yes.
And they last longer. So so I'm a big fan of doing that if I'm all of a sudden having an event that I wasn't necessarily planning on having and didn't have time.
Well, life just gets in the way. I don't know about you, but life is like all of a sudden the thing's there and it's like, oh my goodness, now this is the last thing, you know.
Or my toddler grandkids went out and picked all the flowers and there's nothing left.
Or you could be really, I have two llamas and I brought one up to take a walk and grabbed my pot and decided to eat it and kind of swung it around and broke the pot. I'm like, that happens so fast. So you never know, just a quick, happens.
Life happens. And then the other thing I think we should talk about a little bit, maybe, because we're going to be doing a lot of barbecuing, right? Yeah. It is the season for lots of barbecuing. And so it is also the season to create or spruce up your herb garden, right? Because I think barbecuing is much tastier if you have herbs involved.
I agree.
So my favorite, I'll tell you what mine are and then I'll ask you what yours are. My favorite herbs for barbecuing, first of all, is rosemary. Rosemary's awesome for barbecuing. And then I use a lot of thyme in marinades and a lot of parsley mm-hmm. in marinades. And then of course in summer, how can you not use basil?
Oh, I was waiting for you to say that.
So I probably picked all the good ones. Do you have any others to add?
Actually, those are my go-tos, Tina. Uh-huh. I'm trying to think. I planted some dill this year.
I love dill, yeah.
And I like doing that. You said oregano.
No, I think I forgot oregano. Right.
Oregano, yeah. I do that. And then what I do is, this is this side thing, is sometimes it's too much. And I dehydrate these things.
Ah.
And then I dehydrate them, crumble them up, and then I have them dried for myself.
That's awesome.
And so they're always in the cabinet with a fresh herb that I've, you know, because sometimes you grow too much. Like, how much are you going to use of this right now? And, like, you know, rosemary grows, like, it gets big, and if you don't keep it low, it gets big. So I, you know, dry out some rosemary, and I did a lot of it. Oregano grows really easy. And so that's something else you could think about doing and, you know, giving as presents or friends or whatever. And,
oh, yeah. Speaking of that, I know we've talked about it on the show before, but I think that taking an herb pot as a hostess gift is one of the nicest things you can do. Or if you want to do like a housewarming gift and make it even bigger, I love doing an herb garden in a strawberry pot, you know, with mm-hmm. all the little holes, because mm-hmm. then you have an entire herb garden, you know, basically in one pot. So could make one for yourself and just give yourself a present. But if you're going over to somebody else's house, that makes a great gift.
And it's really nice with all the different summer things. Herbs are expensive in the store, and they don't last.
No, they turn into mold in my refrigerator.
Yeah, and you don't need a lot of space. I mean, some of them take a lot of space, but you could. It's just nice going outside and picking something and just saying, oh, I'm making this. Let me go grab some oregano or grab some of this.
Absolutely.
And I don't worry about, is there any left in the refrigerator or, you know, is it okay? It's just go and snip, snip, and there you are.
Yeah, even if you live in an apartment or, you know, a condo or a home with a, you know, patio for a yard, if you can find a tiny little spot of sunshine, you know, maybe it's your front doorstep, you know, where the best sunshine is. But if you get a nice size pot, you know, like 12, 14 inches across, and you can plant, upright rosemary in the center of it, and parsley, and, you know, other things around the edges, or one with basil in the center, because basil and rosemary get tall. They're pretty. They're these pretty evergreen
pots. And they smell good.
And then you always have this stuff available for you. And it's, in the long run, so much cheaper than, you know, for the price of one little package of herbs at the grocery store, you can get a plant that will last you for the whole summer or beyond. Yeah. We're big advocates of herbs and making marinades, or just laying a sprig of rosemary on top of the meat you're grilling, you know?
That sounds wonderful. You know, we need to take a quick break at intermission and to let everybody know that you are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine, California. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the station, the university, or the UC Board of Regents. And there we go. Now we can start to go back and talk about our herbs or whatever else we want to talk about.
Yeah. Well, let's move from herbs, still thinking about barbecues and dinners outside, but let's move to the veggie garden and talk about what else we can eat with our dinners and cook on those barbecues. I know Katrina has a huge veggie garden. So what are you growing in yours? You're probably growing everything possible.
Oh my gosh. Right now, let's see. I have tomatoes, of course. I have zucchini, of course. I have kale. I have eggplant. I have beans. What else do I have? Onions. Getting ready to harvest a lot of onions.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I just finished, I've never done this before, but I still have, like, just finished a cauliflower and broccoli.
You gave me one of your broccolis a while back. It was delicious.
Yeah. And so we tend to eat whatever's in season, and we eat a lot of it. And we're, like, zucchini, of course, is going crazy. Oh, I have watermelon going and cantaloupe going.
Oh, wow.
And spaghetti squash and butternut squash and... I'll keep remembering more things as we go, but
you've mentioned pretty much the whole menu of summer crops, which is awesome. And hopefully everybody got their summer veggie gardens in, you know, starting in March, big time in April, last month in May. But if you didn't, or if you're like me, I have a smaller area than Katrina does for veggies. So I've been waiting for some of my cool season stuff to finish. Mm-hmm. So I just pulled out my spinach bolted. So I just pulled that out yesterday. And I can see that some of my kale plants are starting to bolt. And of course, the lettuce bolted a while ago. So the lettuce has been gone for a while. But I did have some arugula because I plant that in phases. But anyway, what I did this last weekend is I pulled out a lot of the cool season stuff that I was still using. And so even though it's June, I'm going to continue to plant some more warm season stuff. And so if you're like me and just now having some space freed up, or you didn't get around to starting your summer veggie garden, you can still do it right now in June.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so... some of the stuff that is still available to plant from seed would be, think of big seeds, the stuff that has big seeds like corn and cucumbers and squashes and beans. You know, those all have big seeds. So that's kind of how I remember. What do you plant from seed? Well, things that have big seeds, those are good to plant right now. You can still plant them. The things that have smaller seeds, maybe like the tomatoes and the peppers, it's not necessarily that the seeds are smaller. It's just they take longer to mature or produce fruit. So if I was going to plant more tomatoes, which I will, or more peppers, I would buy those in starts.
Yes.
Either 4 inches or six packs.
Definitely. This time of year, I do the same thing.
Yeah.
Or I started them.
A while ago.
And they're itty bitty. They're just starting. They're almost like what you buy in the store.
Right. So, feel free to, you know, get your garden in or keep adding to your garden. I didn't have room for zucchini until I pulled the spinach and some other stuff out. So,
you know, and we're all different too, because my spinach was gone. Well, I live in a warmer area, right? So my spinach, my lettuce has been gone from my arugula. I tried to plant it, you know, in, what was it, April, and it bolted.
And I'm closer to the coast, so I still have a lot of overcast, and so mine, you know, lasted longer than yours did.
Yeah, my spaghetti squash has become a monster, you know, in April. I mean, in May. It's just like, it's growing. It was May. It's like, oh my gosh, what did I create here? So it's just a warmer environment. So we adjust a little bit for what we are.
Sure.
But I always do a second planting like you do, and I have space for it. You know, I'm harvesting the onions now and some other things. So I'm going to start, you know, another set of tomatoes. Buy six, you know, buy probably a 4x4 because I don't want six of the same tomatoes.
Exactly.
And planting some more stuff, you know, so because it, you know, it's kind of at the end of the season, it's like tired. And I'd really rather have a new plant in there that carries forward, because now I'm in the momentum for summer vegetables. I don't want to stop in August.
Well, especially for me, tomatoes, right? I don't want the tomatoes to end. And I know that they'll start getting some fungal diseases, right? And so some of the tomatoes will finish up in July and more of them will finish up in August. And so I'm going to plant more now in June so that I have some that carry through to October, you know?
Same here. I left space. I just have empty space because I'm waiting, because there's certain things that I like, okay, this will carry me now. And I need to plant some more stuff in June.
Yeah.
So if you're starting in June, that's great too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just, you know, you just have to realize that, you know, you're probably not going to have a harvest until July. But, you know, it's better than none at all. And your harvest will probably extend into the fall. Yeah. So not too late to start. Some of my favorite veggies for the barbecue, of course, are any of the squashes. Okay. They're amazing if you just brush them with oil and sprinkle with herbs. Some of Katrina's dried herbs from her garden. Yeah. Peppers. Don't you love to have peppers grilled on the grill?
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
I like zucchini on the grill.
Yeah.
That's
me too.
Really good.
That's my favorite way to have zucchini is on the grill. And eggplant. I mean, I'm not a huge eggplant person, but another Master Gardener friend of ours introduced me to an eggplant sandwich years ago and didn't tell me what it was. It was on a nice crusty French roll. And I took a bite and went, oh my gosh, what is this?
Have you tried Japanese eggplant?
That might have been what she had.
All tastes are different.
Yeah.
But the big globe eggplant, like how many lasagnas can you make?
Out of that, yeah.
You know, but it's just not like, I don't make a lot of lasagnas. But the Japanese eggplant, the long, skinny ones, it's wonderful to grill.
I think that's probably what she used because it fit on a French roll.
Yeah, it's just absolutely wonderful to grill. So, Tina, I highly recommend
trying
a Japanese egg. Japanese, because the other ones we just didn't use, you know? And it was just like,
I just quit growing them because my family didn't like it.
Yeah,
so,
neither Bob and I did until I got a Japanese eggplant, and now it's like it's right up there with zucchini. Like,
nice.
It's really good. So Japanese eggplant, long, skinny.
Yeah,
grill it on the barbecue.
Yum, yum.
It's a 10.
Yeah. And then of course you can't have too many tomatoes because you want to have, you know, lots of bruschetta and salsas So that's what I always get pegged when we go to a potluck. Everybody always asks, you know, bring your bruschetta because they know I have fresh tomatoes, which homegrown makes the best bruschetta ever.
Isn't it great?
Yeah. So what do you need to do, though, if you have started your veggie garden? Well, they probably need a little food. So time to side dress those veggies. And in case you don't know the term side dressing, it just means that you want to sprinkle some of your granular fertilizer around the sides of the plant. So, of course, we incorporate fertilizer in the soil when we're planting a new plant. But, you know, as that gets depleted, the plants would love to have a little more food. So you can side dress around the edges of the plants with some additional fertilizer to keep them going strong.
Makes a big difference.
Yeah.
You know, I have a family member who forgets to fertilize. And she works so hard in her garden. And I feel sorry for her. She just loves her garden. I'm like, I won't even say her name. Have you fertilized? And when I go visit, I fertilize for
her. There you go.
Because it just makes a huge difference. And she says, well, no, I just love being out there. But she doesn't fertilize.
Your plants will love you if you do that. And they'll give you more if you do that. And of course, in the veggie garden, as the weather gets hot, you've got to stay on top of the watering. So if you don't have your veggie garden on an automatic sprinkler, if you go on vacation, hire a neighborhood kid, but you got to make sure that that veggie garden stays watered religiously during the summer as it gets hot. And again, you can mulch it with straw. Straw's great for mulching.
I'm using straw right now.
Yeah.
And it's really nice because I get a bale at a time, but I have a big, but you can get like a bale and then share it.
Sure.
With your friends or whatever, and yeah, you just put it right around there, and it really keeps the moisture in.
Oh, and it also...
Weeds.
Keeps the weeds down, yeah. And if you're... It'll be too hot for strawberries soon, but, you know, if you grow strawberries, having a straw mulch keeps them from rotting, you know, when they touch the ground. They're super much happier. In fact, that's how they got the name, strawberries. Did you know that?
I did not know that, yeah. Tina.
It's because you mulch them with straw so that when the fruit develops, it lays on the straw rather than on the ground, and it keeps them from rotting. So, yeah. So I had one year when I was producing, my kids were producing grandbabies, and I was not tending the garden much. The bugs and the mold got all my strawberries. But this year I had time to mulch with straw, and so we've had a bumper crop of strawberries this year.
Now, when you get straw, do you get a whole bale at a time? How do you do straw?
I have gotten a bale in the past.
I just live in horse area, you know, so it's easy to get a bale. So
but
what do you do when you...
It's hard for me because I don't use it all, right? I use about half of a bale.
Are you able to get smaller amounts?
Well, what happened this year is I went to a local nursery who was selling it in plastic, like bales, mm-hmm, but just small, mm-hmm, like not a whole bale.
Nice.
And so obviously it was more expensive, mm-hmm, to buy it that way, but I bought it anyway because it was just so much more convenient than having to wrestle with a whole bale. So, I don't know if they would have it this time of year, but you can check and see or share it with a neighbor, you know? And then of course I compost. So when I have leftover straw, I'll add it to the compost bin. And use it up that way if I need to. I think that's all I can think of for the veggie garden. Oh, but I know what we should mention, talking about edibles, is fruit trees, right? The deciduous fruit trees like peaches and plums.
I forgot I was bringing you cherries today.
Oh,
well. I have a bag of cherries sitting on my kitchen table to bring you. So sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You just remind me.
I forgive you.
I don't forgive me. I was out picking them early this morning.
But anyway, to talk about fruit that's a little later than cherries, especially peaches, if you are noticing your peaches dropping, don't get too worried about it. There is such a thing called June drop for peach trees. They typically produce more peaches than the tree can support to maturity, so they will automatically shed some of the small peaches. And if they don't, or they're not doing it enough, if you have an abundance of peaches on your tree, you should thin them yourselves when they're like the size of a fingernail, because you'll get better quality and larger fruit if you thin the peaches.
Okay, it's so hard for me to do that. Because they're all clumped together, right? And I'm like, oh, I want a million peaches because I love peaches. And you have to thin them to about, a fist distance.
Fist distance
because
apart.
If they don't have room to grow and it's just too much in there. And I tell you, I know I have to do it every year. I'm like, dang, I don't want to. And I try to do it as least as possible. And I know I need to do more. But go ahead and do it because you do it, you get better. You get better. And so these little itty bitty fruits, you get really nice fruit.
Yes. Yeah. The other thing to do towards, it depends on your peach tree, because some are really early. Some can be May harvest, mm-hmm, June harvest, July harvest, August harvest. The kind I have is a June harvest. And so towards the middle of June, I need to start covering up those peaches, or the squirrels and the birds will get most of the peaches. There's a couple of strategies. If your tree is short enough, you can cover it with bird netting. It takes a couple of people to get the bird netting over the whole canopy. But my tree is a little too big for that now. So what I do is I bought these bags. They're kind of see-through bags. And you just cover, and they have a twist tie on the end of it. They're probably about 10 inches wide by 11 inches long. And so you can cover up clumps of your fruit and twist tie it so that the birds and the squirrels don't get it.
Do you ever put, I put streamers in my...
I have put streamers.
They don't do much for squirrels, but they've helped with birds.
Yes. The squirrels are actually my bigger problem these days. And so the streamers just don't seem to bother them much.
Yeah, they don't.
So anyway, just a thought, you know, if you really are frustrated because you aren't getting much fruit, you can buy these fruit protector bags, I think they're called. If you just put that in on Amazon, you'll see what I'm talking about. So protect your fruit, get a harvest.
And thin your fruit trees.
Yeah.
It's hard to do.
Okay, should we move on to our pretty gardens?
Or should we talk a little bit about stuff, pests and stuff in our gardens? Because we're going to really, you know, buy the stuff ahead of time because it always happens.
You're right. We do still have June gloom. So I don't know about you, but because you're farther inland. But for me...
I get June gloom too.
You do? I get mildew. Yeah. And so maybe we should talk about mildew
a little bit.
Okay. So mildew happens when it's June gloom, when it's moist, when the sun isn't shining, those mildew spores proliferate, right? So what can we do? Well, one of the things we can do is not overhead water, right? Because if the leaves of things are getting wet, then it's a more hospitable environment for those mildew spores. But, you know, sometimes you can't help it because you have automatic sprinklers. But if you can, use drip irrigation or soaker hoses. That can help prevent it. The other thing that you can do is you can spray in advance. And I know I love, you know, as master gardeners on the hotline or when we're out in an event, people will bring us this leaf of something that is just covered with mildew, right? And they're like, how can I fix this? And we're like, yeah, pretty much you can't fix it now because it's out of control. So, word to the wise, if you have plants that have been susceptible to mildew in the past, you want to do a proactive preventive spray with a fungicide. And just to give you a couple of thoughts, horticultural oils, neem oil, sulfur, and then there's a fungicide, a biological fungicide called Serenade. Those all help control and prevent powdery mildew. But you need to do it when it's in the light to moderate infestation process. Once your plants are, you know, like once your peas, for instance, get powdery mildew everywhere,
pull them out, get rid of them. And then if you start seeing in a plant, pull those leaves off immediately. And what I think one of the best things I've done is years past, I haven't bought stuff proactively. And then when I see it, I have a busy week and I don't have time to go get it. So now I have it at home. Oh, well, this makes sense. And I have a little bit of time. Like, well, I know these plants get powdery mildew. Why don't I just take care of it before I have the problem?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, it sounds really simple, but it's this whole, like, I'm a master gardener and I didn't do it. But it's simple if you do it, and it really, really helps out. It makes life easier.
It does. And when you do it, one of the things to remember is that you have to do the underside of leaves as well as the top of the leaves. So I have a pump sprayer, and so you know, you just pump it up and it has a little tiny hose attached to it. And so you can just take that little tiny hose and do the top and then kind of reach under and do the underside too.
And you know, it's funny. It also depends on a pump sprayer. I have a gallon pump sprayer.
Uh-huh.
My husband has a 2-gallon pump sprayer because I can't lug that thing
it's
around.
It's too heavy.
And then my neighbor has a, like, they put it in an old Windex bottle or something, right. You know, and then label the Windex bottle because they don't have as much. And it's just an easier thing to carry around.
So, yeah, you can buy these things pre-mixed in a you know, spray bottle, which is great if you have a small, you know, amount of things to treat. But if you have a larger garden, then getting one of those gallon or 2-gallon if you're strong enough to carry it around. But I agree, the gallon is all that I can handle.
I was slugging that 2-gallon thing around. I'm like, what is wrong with me?
You're going to have a bad back for sure.
He says, well, it holds more. And I'm like, yeah, if I live through it.
Yeah. So anyway, that's a tip for not really a pest, but a disease. And then as far as the pests, you know, you just have to keep on top of snails, keep on top of aphids. What other things do we see in June?
You know, snails, I'm always proactive on that too, because I hate once they get in the garden, you know, and I got this little barrier thing I do. Yeah, and I put it out every couple of weeks because they come.
Well, I'm laughing. You can't see me because it's radio, but I'm laughing because we had our two-year, 10-month-old grandson over and out and about, and I have these kids trained from a very young age to step on snails. So he's walking around my garden this weekend, crunch, crunch, just every time the kid, grandma.
I'm going to borrow him.
Yeah. So, prevention is great, but training two-year-olds is also great. And then putting snail bait out, but you do have to be careful with the snail bait, particularly if you have pets. You can get the organic snail baits, which are iron-based, and that's better for your veggie gardens. But still, you know, I use it, but again, because we have small kids, I don't use it anywhere where they can reach it. You know, I put it in the center of a bed where they can't get to it, so...
And I don't have kids, and my garden's fenced in.
Yeah.
So both of my vegetable gardens are fenced in. So I do.
But you have dogs, so.
But they're not allowed in the vegetable garden because they eat the vegetables.
Well, there you go.
You know, they're just, and they're not very kind. They kind of run through the vegetables. So now they're trained. They sit at the gate and watch me garden.
Aww.
But I do a perimeter around the outside, and that's kind of my thing. Is like I'm protecting my vegetables.
Yeah. No, for
and
sure.
And there's some plants that are more susceptible, and the snails just love them. And I make a moat around it. You know.
Yeah.
It's like, this is what I do, because once they get into the vegetable, they don't come out.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this is good. I'm not leaving.
Yeah. It's a smorgasbord for them.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have a few minutes left. Maybe we should talk a little bit about how to take care of our blooming stuff or what kind of blooming stuff we can do. We can still plant seeds of the super easy, fast-growing annuals like sunflowers. Who doesn't love sunflowers? Zinnias, marigolds, cosmos. Can still grow those from seed not too late.
Okay, can I tell you what I've discovered this year?
Yeah?
There's a sunflower. My husband plants sunflowers all over my property.
Aww.
And it's something he's done because he knows I love them, and they're surprises. They just pop up. But this year, there's a sunflower that has, it's like a sunflower tree. And I don't know the name of it, but it's got, if you find packages of seeds, I just found it at a big box store because it was growing. And like one sunflower has 26-inch sunflowers on it.
One plant.
One plant, and it grows all the way from the ground up to about maybe 6 feet. And it's just 360 degrees with sunflowers.
Oh, my gosh.
So
beautiful.
Something to think about.
And tall, because I love tall things in the garden. That's awesome. The other thing to look for in the nurseries is a lot of perennials bloom in June.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you keep your eyes open, you might see some stuff that you would love to have in your garden. And although June isn't the best time for planting perennials, I typically like to plant them in the fall and early spring. Oftentimes there may be something that you don't really know what it's going to look like, but if it's blooming in June in the nursery, it's very much worth purchasing it because then you know what you're going to get. And also with the lavenders, because I still always forget you know, the different types of lavenders. And I'm like, oh, what does that flower look like on that lavender? You know, the Spanish, the French.
Me too.
But they're usually blooming in May and June and July sometimes. And so if you want to get the lavender whose flower is your favorite, then that's a good time to pick it out. So yeah, you can still add to your flower garden this time of year as well. And also, Katrina knows I love bulbs. June is the last month that I plant my last succession of gladiola. I like to plant gladiola a few every month. Well, more than a few. But let's just say I like to plant groups of gladiola for bloom kind of all summer long. And June's kind of the last month that I'll plant the last batch of glads.
You know, last year I planted a whole bunch of glads and I didn't pull them up.
Oh, so they come back.
They come back. Yeah. You know, and I planted them like every 2 weeks all last
year. Yeah, yeah.
And this year I went, oh, it's been kind of crazy. Let's just see when they come up. So they're all starting to come up now. So I'm just going to have a party of glads.
Yeah. Once they naturalize and get on their own schedule based on your climate and mm-hmm. weather, they will pretty much all bloom, you know, within a few weeks of each other. You can only trick them when you're planting brand new ones.
You know, we were just busy and life got in the way. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be, because, you know, I'm like, it's just going to be what it is.
Yeah.
But I really like that every 2 weeks planting a whole bunch, but it didn't work this year. And I'm just going to have a lot of beautiful glads for a period of time.
Yeah. And you'll be able to make stunning bouquets because they're so tall and regal.
Yeah, but we spend so much time outside.
Oh, you don't even want to cut them.
I don't want to cut them.
There you go.
That's my bouquets outside. I don't want to cut them. But they're really pretty.
Yeah. No, I love tall things. So that's one of the reasons why I love
glands. You got me planting tall zinnias. And I love planting the tall, giant zinnias.
Yeah.
So that is just, those I tend to find only by, I have to buy seeds.
Yes. I plant my zinnias by seed as well. Occasionally, some specialty nurseries will end up carrying them, but they often don't carry the tall ones. They mostly just carry the short ones.
That's what I found. I love those really big, tall ones with the big blooms. You know, my house, you have to see things from a distance. I don't do good on little things.
Right.
So all my flowers is, you know, the jumbo dahlias and, you know, I have the sunflowers. And I do a lot of big kind of stuff.
Right.
And I like the zinnias because they're big.
Yeah, me too. So, well, I think we have run out of time. So want to wish everyone a happy summer. Stay cool. Be sure and wear your hat when you go out in the garden. And
have fun. Enjoy family and friends and enjoy gardening. And we'll see you next month within the garden.